The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the UAB Director's Chair. He is Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director. Of course, go Blazers. I am Tony Curry. We do our show every single week. And coming up here in a couple weeks, the show will actually be changing names. Still going to be great content. Mark will still be on the show. We'll be adding two new jokers to the play here. Trent Dilfer and Andy Kennedy is going to be part of the show. It's going to be called The Inferno. It's going to be everything about UAB, but it's also going to be about college sports in general and about those two coaches and about, of course, Mark Ingram. If you've listened to the show, you know that we are very transparent. We talk about our personal lives and about our families and everything else. So we're super excited about that. So we'll be looking for The Inferno. We'll actually be doing it from a studio, and which is really cool. When I my original idea, and I was part of this, and I'm proud of that, and you are too, was to do it through Zoom. So because I know coaches are busy, but you guys worked out a deal where we're actually all four, hopefully, going to be in the studio more times than not together. So because I love to play off, body movements and everything else, and stuff like that, and so it's going to be really good. It's going to be very exciting. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't know that we should ever try to get the two of them in studio at the same time. We only have so much time to be in there. There's a schedule to keep, Tony. But yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm really excited about it, too. The Inferno will be a lot of fun. And you're still going to be able to get it right here, right? You're still going to be able to come here. Just don't be surprised by the name change.
And the great thing about it is, and I'll just be straight out honest with you, and people are like, well, why are you guys doing this? First of all, it's a great idea. Second of all, I'm really excited about being the host for something like this. It's going to be great content, unlike any podcast you've seen out there before.
We're trying to broaden what it is. But we're now it's just you and me. Yeah. We're trying to broaden what it is. And that's why we're changing.
But we shoot straight. We're raising money here. We want to raise money for the collectives through UAB. And so by supporting this podcast and supporting the show, you will be helping the UAB Blazers and college sports as we know it. So feel free to go ahead. And I know Pearl River Resort is going to be one of our big sponsors. They're going to be on the show. And we got a couple other great sponsors we're working through. So make sure you support them as well. Be supporting the UAB Blazers by doing that.
100%. Yeah, we've got to continue to do all that we can in that space to help our coaches. And, ultimately as a fan, what you're doing is you're trying to help us preserve winning tradition.
Yep.
That's really what you're doing. And some people will say to me, Mark, I just don't like the idea of paying players. And I say, yeah, but what would you pay to ensure that we have a winning team this year? What would you be willing to invest?
Great point.
To ensure that we maintain winning success and tradition? And if you think of it in those terms, then the answer is, I need you to do this. I need you to keep supporting other things that we ask, but I need you to support our collective too. So, that's what we're going to do.
And we're giving you something for it. I mean, a lot of times you have to dig deeper. We need some more money. Okay. Well, normally when you're asking somebody to give more money for something, they want something in return. Give me a little
extra. This is not behind a paywall.
Yeah, exactly.
This is right. Continue to get this for free. Exactly. We're not asking you to pay for content, but if you're a listener of the show and you get other people to listen, that means the crowd is bigger, which means we can get other people like Pearl River Resort to help support us. And that's what we're going to help use to try and fund our collective.
Speaking of the devil, I saw this story, Ohio State AD Ross Bjork. Do you know him?
Very well. We used to work together.
There you have it. He announced yesterday that Ohio State made and gave out $20 million in NIL money this past year. That was last year.
Yeah.
That number seems like it's just an absolute monster. And as far as we know, that is, first of all, do you have to report NIL money?
We do report. Well, when I say report, we record. Yeah. We record the deals and so that we can keep track. If and when somebody ever comes back to us, we all sort of anticipate that the NCAA is going to say at some point may just call us and go, hey, we want to see, all the deals. We don't know. It hasn't happened, but we're kind of assuming that would be a thing. So we've been trying to keep our own internal recording so that, A, we know what we're doing, but also in the event that that would happen. It's part of the new house settlement. There's discussion about that being more strictly enforced. So that's, again, why I'm glad we've been doing it.
When you hear that number, did you think in a million years that it would be that? I mean, I know that the Some of these kids were making $1 million, could be a quarterback. I get that. And I heard about, you know, A&M linemen getting $20,000 a piece, but $20 million, that was last year.
Yeah, I think it's nuts. I mean, it's to answer your question, no, I never would have thought that would happen. And the question is, how long can they keep doing that, right? Yeah. And who's funding that? Are they getting – look, man, you go to the Horseshoe up there, and they've got 100,000 people in the stadium. I don't know how many of those are students. Let's call it 15 to 20,000 of them are students. So let's cut that number down to just round numbers, 80,000. If you take out recruits that are there, you take out player families that are there, some people that are not going to pay. My point is, let's say you got 80,000 people left, 75, 80,000 people that your visitors, they're not going to help your collective. So yeah, let's call it 75,000. If 75,000 give a number, is that how they're doing it? And obviously some of them are not. So, you know, they have corporations, or they have some wealthy billionaires. Look, Ohio State's a huge school, so they got a massive alumni base, you know, that love the Buckeyes. They're not a bigger city than Birmingham, probably similar in size actually to Birmingham. But the point is they're not a small town, they're a big city. So they have opportunities there too. I don't know where it's coming from. I mean, you got to ask yourself, how long can you maintain that?
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's a good spot to start. And yeah, there may be some one-time deals there. You know, we'll get you off the ground, see what happens from there on out. But that is an absorbent amount of money. And compared to what we were just saying a couple of years ago, saying, yeah, the top three guys, maybe top four guys of a particular team is going to make it to the next level, will make that kind of money. It does appear that almost everybody now is going to be getting something, or else you're going to the wrong school if you're not getting paid. Let's put it this way. If you're going to a major college, and I'll even throw UAB in there because you're a major college, can we assume that every player, assuming they want to get paid to play? Now, you don't have to get paid to play if you don't want to. That's your call. But can I assume that every college football player, say you use college football as an example, is going to get paid something? You're going to get something, right?
Well, they get something now. Yeah. You know, so by the strictest definition, they're getting something now. You know, they're getting their education paid for. They're getting a lot of complimentary meals. They're getting...
they still get their stipend, right?
Yeah. That's part of their scholarship, and then there's cost of attendance checks. There's stuff they're getting now, but if you're saying get more, no, I wouldn't say that everybody should assume that they're all going to get more. But many of them will. Yeah. Most of them will. Yeah,
it's pretty amazing stuff.
But look, Tony, you can't give that without taking from something else. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. You know, I talked to a good friend that's a P4 commissioner in the Big Ten, and he's talking about how they're going to figure this out. And it's, hey, look, we've been feeding student athletes. We're probably going to have to stop feeding them because we're going to give them the cash instead. He goes, we're not going to feed them and give them the cash. And he's like, so that's the only way we can. And that won't cover all of it. But, you know, they are also trying to cobble together ways to maybe they change official visits. Maybe official visits are one day, not 2 days. And maybe they don't bring the whole entourage in. Like, let's bring the athlete in and one or two people to be here for 5 hours and get them out of here. You know, because the money we spend on entertainment during a visit, is that necessary? And, you know, kids choose their school very differently than they used to. And, but there's got to be cuts in turn. The point is there's no way to afford it without cutting somewhere. It's a service or a team this is going to be different school to school, how everybody manages this.
Can you see a scenario? We'll go back to the 70s. And I forget when they went to, when did they go to 85 scholarships?
It was in the 80s.
Yeah. Believe it or not, kids, you used to be able to give out as many scholarships you want. You give out 120 scholarships if you wanted to.
I was thinking at one point it was like 140, and then it dropped down to like 120 or 110, and then it dropped to the 85.
Yeah, so do you foresee a situation or an example where you would have more people wanting a scholarship than there's actually available? I mean, you're already kind of doing that now, right? I mean, you're trying to find your 85 best kids, and depending on, you know, how many scholarships you have available, because every scholarship's given out.
We got 35 walk-ons on the football team who would all take a scholarship.
Yeah, but I mean, it just seems like there's going to be a surplus now of people that quite frankly think they're going to get paid. They're not.
Well, under the current proposal, we're going to have to drop our rosters from about, we're all in the ballpark of 120. There's a few outliers that are more than that, but most everybody's kind of in the ballpark of 120, give or take three or four.
Yeah.
We're all going to have to drop down. If the proposal is accepted, we'll drop down to 105. But then everybody of the 105 is on some form of scholarship. So what I read yesterday is that, and Tony, this is if I'm understanding it, and I'm not certain that I am, I think I am, is that that all these what were full scholarships could become partials. So one answer could be is, hey, we had 85 fulls. Now we've got 80, we've still got 85 fulls, but you can spread them out over 105 people.
Okay.
Let's say 20 people that are currently on a full inside that 85 get cut in half so they can take the other half and give it to a new 20 so that now 105 are on some aid.
Yeah.
Again, every school will do this differently, but that's, I think what's being proposed is that that's at least permissible.
Yeah. As we record this show here on July 25th, tomorrow will be kicking off the 2024 Paris Olympics. Of course, that is by far one of the largest amateur sporting events, if you will, plus pros, obviously. Every single 4 years, 1,000 current incoming NCAA athletes will be competing in Paris. How does this House versus NCAA settlement affect the Olympic pipeline and how many?
Really bad.
Yeah.
Really negative.
It's a really big, just talk about that a little bit because
it's super negative. I mean,
the swimming team alone is going to be.
And I think that the person whose last name is House swam at Arizona State. I'm not certain, but
you're correct.
Yeah, I think that's right. And so I also find that interesting in this settlement is that no swimmers are benefiting from this.
I know.
This is not a thing that you know, we've talked about Power Four student athletes are going to be paid by the money that's coming out of our pocket to on back pay. But it's not to every student athlete. It's just those in from like football and basketball or something. And so anyway, that's not to get off topic, but that's odd. But yeah, what's going to happen is some schools will say, hey, look, we're still going to have a men's track team, but it's no longer a scholarship team because we're going to have to take the money from those scholarships and move them to football, basketball, baseball, the sports that are generating revenue. Or maybe they won't give the scholarships, but they'll say, I need that money. You know, I need the 10 scholarships in men's soccer. I need to take that money. And you go, well, how much money is that? Oh, it depends on your school. It depends on the cost of tuition at your school. But I mean, it's $500,000. Here, it's probably, you know, $400,000. So mm-hmm. You say, okay, well, if it's, and again, if it was Stanford where it's $80,000 to go to school there, you know, it's $800,000 that would contribute to this new rev share thing to compensate others. So, the point is the sports that, in my opinion,
and that's because it goes back 10 years.
Men's track and men's swimming are probably going to be hurt the most from an Olympic standpoint because they don't generate really any revenue anywhere. And which is not the fault of those athletes. I want to be clear. That's not those athletes' fault. It's just the way it is. People don't pay to go to that stuff, really. And if they do, it's not enough to. It's not a meaningful number. And so your athletes, if they get to go to some of those schools that, let's just use swimming as an example, because we don't have it. We don't have either of those sports.
Yeah.
Will the kids continue to go not on scholarship? Some will, because a lot of them are on partials anyway. I mean, there's a small number of scholarships in those two sports on the men's side anyway. So like in track, let's say you got 50 men, they're sharing like 10 scholarships. Mm-hmm. I don't know the number, but it's a number like that. And so they're, unless they're like an elite future Olympian and everybody knows it type thing, they're not on a full. They're still on a partial. So, but most of the kids are on little money.
And listen, I mean, just to be fair too, I mean, the United States has always had summer has been our Olympics, winter not so much, and we're picked again to have the most medals this year. But I think it's interesting because I've gotten an opportunity. I went to Barcelona, went to Albertville, went to Lillehammer. I've gone to several of these, including of course Atlanta, and you see teams
from smaller countries that they don't have any money for Olympics, period.
Yeah.
I was over when the Soviet Union disbanded, and there were Soviet Union athletes who were selling their jackets because they were going to be worth money because they had the Soviet Union on them. They were given literally they were given bags of potatoes to take with them to the Olympics because that's wow. how they were going to eat. I mean, it's so it is what it is. When you see these athletes, don't think that everyone's getting a posh wonderful thing and then the Olympic Village and it's just
think we've got to decide through all this. And it sounds like the decision's been made, but the thing that I just continue to ask people on that subject is, how important is it to our country to be successful at the Olympics?
Yep.
If it's not important, who cares? But for me, and I will be selfish in saying, for me, the Olympics every 2 years, winter or summer, the Olympics and the Army-Navy game are things that, through sport, unite our country better and different than anything else. Mm-hmm. Nobody at any of those events is talking about Republican or Democrat or border control or health insurance or, you know what I mean? They're, yep. We're just, it's the best coming together that we have, in my opinion. And so being successful, I think, is valuable, but others think differently, I guess.
I agree with you. It was the unofficial kickoff of the college football season. It always is. We're about 4 weeks out, but down in Arlington, Texas, of course, the AAC had their media days. And I thought Jacob Zeno was great. I got a chance to read up on a lot of stuff. I didn't realize this is his sixth year.
COVID.
He's also had four different head coaches in his collegiate career, which should tell you something right there. And I know that he is a huge, as he should be, a Trent Dilfer fan because Trent wants to see, he's like, what quarterback wouldn't want to come to a system where they're asking you to throw the ball 45 times a game? He's like, this is what I wanted to play college for. But I know the media and having been part of the media for 35 years, we don't know squat. We're not the smartest tools in the shed, but they've got UAB picked 10th overall. And I know that was last year, their first losing season since they came back. The first losing this is 2013. So pretty amazing what UAB has done since they came back. And I know Trent is chomping at the bit, but I saw him on the podium talking about, and he's saying all the coach speak things. Listen, through through the pain and suffering of loss and losing particular things, you obviously get stronger, you get smarter, and those sure. things will be coming for the UAB Blazers. So just talk about a little bit about that and just how wonderful it was to be down there for your second American Conference media day.
Football days,
yeah.
media day.
Yeah.
Well, first, Jacob Zito, thank you for saying, is a terrific young man, and anybody that's any of our fans that ever get a chance to meet him, you love him. He's a really, when I say bright, I don't mean just smart. He's got a great smile. He kind of like lights up when you talk to him. He's just a really wonderful person and representative of our university and of our athletic program and certainly football team. Knew that he would do a great job. I would have guessed that he's had five head coaches because I thought he played 1 year for Matt Rhule and 1 year for, Dave Aranda, and then Bill Clark, Bryant Vincent.
Well, yeah, if you want to call Bryant Vincent, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could say five, yeah. Yeah.
So which I think was a big part of why he stayed. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of opportunity coming back to our first conversation about, collectives and paying players. He had opportunities to go other places and make a lot of money that we couldn't pay him. And we were able to raise some funds to keep him, but it wasn't nearly what he could have gotten. But I think a lot of it was he wanted to stay and play for Trent and not have another new system. On the subject of sort of the team and how they're doing, imagine this. When I hired Trent, I hired one guy, and then he had to go hire like 50 people. And he also had to evaluate the current team to try to see which of those players we desperately didn't want to lose. And he did a great job with that. When you think back to Fish McWilliams and Jermaine Brown and people who said, I'm definitely leaving, if we hire somebody new. And he kept all those guys. I mean, he didn't really lose anybody that had gotten meaningful snaps. And so, so he's trying to do that and recruit new players and interview all these people. Okay, so you get through you know, call it February, December, January, which was crazy, those 2 months, then you get into, okay, now we have to install an offense and a defense, which is Trent and his coordinators understanding one another. What are we trying to do? And what are we going to call that play?
Yeah.
And then don't forget it, Tony, you're the defense coordinator. What are we calling that play? Now you have to go tell the assistants, what do we call that play? And then you have to go tell the players. And so that's not as easy as that sounds, particularly if you had a situation where, let's say we had hired a head coach from another school and he brought his whole staff. Well, a lot of them, they kind of already know all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this was. Trent came in with a couple of people, but most of them were brand new. And so there was a learning situation for the coaches. And then they're trying to share that and teach that to the players. Okay, a year later, this past spring, there weren't any of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
None of that. So a lot of that chaos and distraction of retain. I mean, we had players to retain, but we knew who they were. You wouldn't have to evaluate them, right? So there's that part and more, you know, normal recruiting, but he wasn't having to go out and hire 50 people. That wasn't happening. And the whole, let's translate and get together again. Let's go through the offense, make sure we all understand and agree. And, you know, this is down into the weeds now where the offensive line coach has to know every play and how every single player on the offensive line, who they block on every single scenario. And that's just a lot. So I would say that internally with communication and knowing the systems, we are light years ahead of where we were, which translates to light years ahead of where we were with the team as well. So I'm really optimistic. You know, we were a top 20 offense last year. So if we can improve, if we can, you know, keep that, which is not easy, but if we could keep that sort of level of productivity and then improve on the defensive side, we got a great chance to win a lot more football games. And if you look back at some of the games we lost, we were close in a few of them too. Mm-hmm. We didn't play our best game in a couple of them, but there were times where I thought, you know, we were up, I think, 2 touchdowns against both San Antonio and Tulane, and ultimately, yes, lost. But like we were in those football games. We were in the Tulane game until the very last 5 minutes of the game. Yep. We were in the San Antonio game until maybe the last like 8 minutes, 10 minutes of the game. So, hopefully, like I said, some things have improved and it shifts that and puts us in a position to win more games.
It'll be before you know it. UABsports.com. Check out the website for everything you need, tickets and everything else. It's going to be a fantastic year and it'll be here before you know it. We're just trying to grasp all the time that's going by so quickly because it will be here before you know it. And chances are a lot of people won't be ready, but UAB Blazers will be. He's the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. One of the reasons I love him, he loves classic rock. I heard this interesting story this past week. You know, there's a multitude of classic rock artists who have been selling off their catalogs. Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, Def Leppard. If you haven't sold off your catalog, chances are you either are going to or it's imminent. And we're talking $300-500 million. And people are like, what does that mean? And there's these companies that are coming in, and I be remiss to mention who they are because I don't remember. There's 3 or 4 different companies that come out. I think GPS is one. They go out and they basically say, we want to buy all of your music. And from that point on, we will own your music. You can write more music if you want. You can do whatever you want. It's not going to be part of our deal, but we're going to own everything. In other words, if your song's used for any commercials, we're going to make that money. We're basically buying your rights. You did write the song. I think they also give up the licensing fees. So like companies like mine that play classic rock, I have to pay licensing fees every month. Some money also goes to these companies that have bought out these big things. Well, now there's some talk since we have more classic rock bands playing in concert this year than we've ever had. And by the way, I missed that Sammy Hagar concert last week. I was so bummed out. It was raining. I was like, do I want to go sit in the lawn in the rain? I was like, it ain't gonna happen.
Hey, you know, they're playing at Bridgestone in Nashville and again in Alpharetta the 2 days before our home opener against Alcorn.
Yeah, we may have to make that.
Yeah, we play Thursday night on the 29th. They are in Nashville and Alpharetta on the 27th and 28th.
Can we use the UAB private jet for that?
Yeah.
So evidently there's a the word going around now that, and this has been around for a long time, but I mentioned this. I saw the coasters. Remember the coasters? Smoke gets in your eyes. I saw the coasters play in Tuscaloosa about 15 years ago. And I walked in, I forget what the bar was on the thing. And it said, the coasters live tonight. And I walked in and it was four 22-year-old black dudes.
Okay.
And I'm like, where are the coasters? I'm like, we're the coasters. They bought, they bought the name, the coasters. And so they own the coasters rights to be able to call themselves the coasters. We've certainly seen that with several bands, you know, where like Jefferson Airplane, they had to change to Jefferson Starship, and then Jefferson Starship, because there would be band members saying, you can't call it that anymore because we own rights to that. And so you have to change the name of the band. But now there is the opportunity for some of these bands to sell the actual name of the band, so other guys can come in and be the band down the road. In other words, what I'm saying is, in the year 2037, Journey may be playing in Alpharetta, despite the fact that every original member is dead.
Yeah.
Do you have a problem with that? Do you like that? I mean, we're right, because like Lynyrd Skynyrd right now, there's not an original member, but they're as big as they've ever been. I mean,
it's basically a tribute band, though.
But a lot of those players have been with the band for 20 years.
Under the same name.
There's been guys in that band that have been in that band for 25 years. So, I mean, how long is it before you're actually considered part of the band? I mean, if I just got five new guys tonight and said, I want to call myself AC/DC and bought the name, it wouldn't be the same. But at least for Lynyrd Skynyrd, you've got members who've been with the band for decades.
And so, I'm with you. I think it's different. If Lynyrd Skynyrd has one original member in it, I guess I feel differently. But if there's, but the coasters concept that you just said, all of a sudden we know that the Rolling Stones are whatever the age of Rolling Stones, 80 years old. And all of a sudden you buy a ticket to see the Rolling Stones in, you know, some stadium somewhere, Mercedes-Benz over in Atlanta. And you go over there and it's four or five people that are 26 years old. That's not what I thought I bought.
I mean, it would have to be a gradual thing. I wouldn't want to see like Mick and Keith replaced in the same year. If Keith, well, ZZ Top is still on the road and they lost a third of their band, right?
Well,
and there's only three guys in the band. You lost 33% of the band and they're still on the road doing their thing.
It's the two front men, right?
Steely Dan only had Donald Fagen and Walter, and he lost one of those guys and they're still on the road.
Listen, what you're saying is Van Halen. Eddie Van Halen died. If they replace him with Joe Satriani, and it's this show we just talked about, but Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony, which is two members of the band, it's half, but there's no Van Halen, right? Alex isn't playing. But they're not calling themselves Van Halen.
Should Roger Daltrey be allowed to be able to call himself The Who? Because he's on the road right now, a solo. He's calling himself Roger Daltrey. He's playing Who music.
I mean, that's between him and the other members.
But when Pete Townsend's with him, they call it The Who. They just played, you know, down in New Orleans a couple of months ago. It was
based on who wrote songs. Do you think that it's got something to do with that?
Roger Daltrey sings Pete Townsend songs. He sings songs.
But what I'm saying is like if Pete Townsend wrote the song, then they play that song, even though Roger's the one singing it.
Yeah. I don't know. There's probably some type of understanding that Pete can go on the road solo. And
I don't understand any of that stuff, but I think it's weird. What you first described, the coasters, if all of a sudden the Rolling Stones are playing at Legacy or Protective Stadium and I go buy a ticket to see the Rolling Stones and it's a bunch of kids, I'm going to be like, what? And they might sound great.
I'm okay
paying Rolling Stone prices.
Well, that's the other thing too. What do you do? I wouldn't want to see the original Lynyrd Skynyrd right now because they wouldn't be that good.
If they sounded the same.
Huh?
If they sounded the same, you would.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The tribute bands, there are more tribute bands out there than I think the actual bands. I mean, there's this Fleetwood Mac thing that sounds so good. People were like, they'd rather see Fleetwood Mac, the tribute band, than the real Fleetwood Mac because the tribute band's better than the real band.
As long as you know what you're getting.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Tribute bands are fantastic. I mean, they're great.
Blackjack and Symphony kills it. I mean, they're selling out everywhere they go, and they're not the original band. All they do is play other people's music, and they're killing it because it's incredible. And they've done everything from Back in Black to Prince.
Yeah,
but they find players that play their music perfectly, and it's amazing. You close your eyes and you swear you're listening to the record. So I don't know how I feel about that. I don't. First of all, do we want classic rock and roll to continue to live 30, 40 years? There was some article I saw through Ultimate Classic Rock, and it's on my website, TonyCurryRadio.net. 50 90s songs that are now considered classic rock songs. And I'm like, because I play a lot of 90s music here on my radio station, and it's like No More Tears from Ozzy Osbourne. That's a classic rock song, but it came out in 1994. So, I mean, that's a classic rock song. Now, you know, at what point do people, you know, that's not a classic rock. Well, you know, is Pearl Jam classic rock? I think. I mean,
I don't think they are. I mean, to me, yeah. It's anything before the 80s is classic rock okay. for me.
So you're going
but
before
I know
80s?
That the world thinks differently. Wow. So when we talk about that, I speak in the worldview.
Okay. All right. Great stuff, man.
You know, we'll talk about that, and I'll talk about Guns N' Roses or Van Halen. I don't think either one of those are classic rock.
You don't think Guns N' Roses and Van Halen's classic rock?
No.
Really? Oh, this is another discussion we need to have next week.
I mean, Van Halen had some music in the late 70s, like maybe 78 was their first album, so I guess they would be certainly more so than GNR. GNR didn't come out until the middle to, was it 86 or 87 or something?
Wow. Okay. We need to have that discussion. We can have a debate about that. All right, my man. Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director, joins us every single week right here on the Tony Curry Radio Network. And, of course, you can hear the show at least five times a week. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, we're available all over the place. We're major on every major industry. And then a brand new show called The Inferno, which is going to be you and I, as well as Andy Kennedy and Trent Dilfer. That show is going to be kicking off a little bit later on in August. We're super excited about and continue to support that, because that will actually be supporting the UAB Blazers. So great stuff. But we'll talk about all kinds of things. We're going to take your email questions. We may have a situation where we can actually take some phone calls during that show. It's a possibility. So we'll just have to see how it goes. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And I promise you, it'll be unlike any show you've ever heard. It's not going to be just about X's and O's. We're going to be talking about everything, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Till next week, have a great week, my friend.
All right, you do the same. Go Blazers.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.